Welcome to the Pragmatic Podcast for June 18th, 2008, Facebook applications.
There's an incredibly large number of half-complete or incredibly buggy applications on Facebook, so make sure your application is well-tested, functional, and make sure that it responds in less than 8 seconds, because that's Facebook's cutoff.
That's Michael J. Mangino, author of Developing Facebook Platform Applications with Rails. I'm Daniel Steinberg, and this week, Mike talks to Pragmatic Programmer editor Susanna Falzer about Facebook, Facebooker, and about his new book. Mike begins by explaining that the Facebook platform
is a way to embed your web application inside of Facebook. It's not just an API. It's not just a method that you can use to access Facebook's data, although it gives you that as well. But it's actually a way to put your application right in the middle of Facebook. They give you a set of tools that are relatively language agnostic, so that you could develop your application in PHP or obviously Ruby on Rails. You can then take a web application and get it embedded into Facebook. They actually act as a middleman. So when a user views your application on Facebook, Facebook forwards the request on to you. You send them some data back. They do a little processing of it, and then they embed your application into the middle of their page. What that means is that you can build programs that are on par with the existing Facebook applications, like the Photos application, with a wall, with all of the typical things that you do inside Facebook. And if you do it properly, you won't even really be able to tell that your application is different than the core of Facebook.
For Rails developers, the way to interact with the Facebook platform is via Facebooker.
Facebooker is a Ruby wrapper around the Facebook interface. It takes the core APIs that they give, which are based on PHP, and actually a little bit ugly, and it gives them a nice Ruby facade. It's a project that was originally started just about a year ago by Chad Fowler after he started building a Facebook application and was a little bit disgusted by the state of the art in Ruby interfaces. He went through and actually decided that there were a couple of goals he wanted out of an interface. He wanted, first of all, it to be tested, which was a big deal. He wanted it to be relatively straightforward to use, and he wanted it to be Ruby-like. And by that, I mean it's got a very standard Ruby and Rails interface to it, so that if you're comfortable with the types of things you do inside Ruby, like using blocks and having helpers and all of those typical Rails and Ruby things, along with giving you an interface to the Facebook APIs to get data about users, it also includes a full suite of Rails integration, giving you some things like view helpers so that you can easily make your application match the Facebook style. It gives you all of the primitives you need to do authentication of requests and integration into the Facebook platform, along with supporting almost the entire Facebook API. The Facebook API has been changing quite a bit over the last few months, and there's a bit of stuff coming down the pipeline that hasn't been officially released. That's not all supported yet, but even then we've got the vast majority of it. And by the time of the launch, we should have the whole new API supported, as well as the existing API.
Now you've given us an idea about how to hook into it with Facebooker. How about describing the platform itself a little bit more?
There's just a few parts of Facebook. The first part, the part that most people will use your application is what's called the Facebook Canvas. And it's basically the main interactive dynamic portion of the application that's similar to a website embedded inside Facebook. When you do that, when you build a Canvas page, you're basically building a regular web page. Everything that you're used to is the same. There are still HTTP requests that come to your server. You still send something that's very similar to HTML back. The parameters are passed the same way. It's basically just like any other web page. The only difference is instead of just speaking HTML back to the browser, you speak a language called FBML, or the Facebook markup language, which gives you some additional user interface primitives for dealing with Facebook. So that's the normal dynamic part of the website. It's where most of your activity will occur. On top of that, there's also a profile area, which is like anybody's Facebook profile. Your application can put a box inside the profile of your users to give some information about the users. So for instance, in a Facebook application like Growing Gifts, when you send somebody a flower using the Growing Gifts application, Growing Gifts will place a flower inside that person's profile area. So it's kind of like a little trophy case or an area for you to brag about what you've done or to give a little bit of an idea of who you are and something about your personality. The profile area is a push area. So because there are so many views, each user's profile gets quite a few views every day, you don't want to have all those dynamic requests coming into your application. So instead, Facebook asks you to push data to them. You send it to them, they store it for you, and they display it automatically. On top of that, Facebook also gives you a pretty extensive messaging interface. You can send notifications, requests or invitations, which are just a message that a more detailed message that includes some sort of action like, hey, use my application, or I'd like you to make a donation to this charity. You can also send emails. You can publish items that show up in people's news feeds. There's just a ton of stuff you can do with messaging. A lot of that, the messaging stuff is changing coming up shortly, but it's still the same type of idea where you can send messages to a specific user, or you can say, hey, this user just did something interesting, and that message gets disseminated to that user's friends. So it's a really powerful way of getting your application to spread virally. Facebook is releasing a new profile coming up hopefully sometime relatively soon. They've been talking about it for the last few months, and they're starting to show off some of the detail around it. One of the other ways you can interact with your application is a profile tab. The new profile pages have a tab navigation bar across the top, and they're giving applications a way to add a tab for the application. So back to my growing gifts example, I could have a growing gifts tab on my profile. When a user clicked it, they'd be able to see and interact with the information from my growing gift page. That's on the profile area, but it's implemented just like any other Canvas page. So it's a great way of giving your users the ability to add a full page view of the application if you've got a lot more detail than you can express in just a tiny little profile box.
So now we've got an idea of all the different ways we can use a Facebook platform. Now the trick is figuring out how to do that. And in your book, you have readers build an application called Karate Poke that walks them through the various aspects of Facebook development. Can you just talk a little bit about what readers of your book will be learning as they work through your sample application?
So the goal of the Karate Poke application in the book is to do something that's relatively basic so it's understandable and we can walk through it. But by the same token, it doesn't make any sense to build a completely toy application that doesn't really do anything. So what we've tried to do is to go through all of the main components of a typical Facebook application. So to start off with, we're going to build a very simple invitation area. And Facebook does some really cool things with invitations because they have this incredibly rich user interface and ability to invite your friends to take actions. So we'll start out by building a very, very thorough and detailed invitation picker that allows you to select your friends dynamically and send them invites to use the application. After that's done, we move on to building a core application. We build a fun little game where you can attack your friends and you can earn new levels and new karate belts as you go. And we implement that on top of most of the web primitives you're familiar with. We'll build some forms. We'll build models using Rails. We'll put it all together using the MVC architecture that Rails provides. And we'll do that with an interface that's tailored specifically to Facebook. So we'll look at what are the different UI primitives that Facebook gives us that are outside of the normal HTML. When do you use them? What are the caveats to some of them? And how can we use them to the best effect? Once we've built that, we'll work on to integrating a little bit of additional messaging so that we can really start to take advantage of the Facebook platform's viral spreadability. We'll notify users when an action occurs. We'll then also look at some preferences and how you might implement notification preferences so that somebody can say, I only want to know once a day if I've been attacked, or I don't want to be constantly spammed. Then we'll take a look at some of the feed items that are the little activity notices that you can post to people's friends and how you create those, how they're selected, and those types of things. Once we've done that, we'll take a look at some of the additional areas that you'll need to be concerned about with the Facebook application, including integrating it with your existing website. If you're not building something completely new for Facebook, maybe you've got a website. Maybe you've got a great entertainment and restaurant review website that you want to make available via Facebook. We'll show you how you can do that and share code between them. In fact, we can do it even so that all you need to do is create new views and you can use your existing controllers. We'll also look at performance, because while not every Facebook application spreads, there's been quite a few that have spread very, very quickly, on the order of 10,000 users the first couple of days, hundreds of thousands of users within a week, and millions of users within a month. So we'll look at what are some of the key things you can do to make sure your application performs well. How do you write unit tests? For the most part, a lot of the development you do is very similar between a Facebook application and a regular Rails application. However, there's some little differences. Testing is often one of them. So we'll see how we test our application. And by the time you're done, we'll have built a full application that you get the source code for, and we'll also have a well-tested application so that you can look at how we write tests for Facebook applications.
The cool thing about it, actually, is that it's a live application on Facebook right now.
It is, and it's the book has been evolving quite a bit over the last couple of months, so it's not completely up to date with the book, but very shortly, once Facebook releases the new version of their API and their profile, we'll get it completely synced up, so it'll be exactly the same as what's in the book.
Karate Poke is a very interactive application. What tips do you have for people starting developing for Facebook? In other words, earlier you said developing for Facebook isn't much different from developing any other web application, but the real difference is the social networking aspect. So how can developers kind of plan interactivity into their Facebook applications to make sure that they can be as successful as they can be from the start?
Well, the first thing to really think about is when you're building an application for Facebook, you've got access to a very rich amount of data among a user and their friends. You really want to make sure you're building something that's useful and works better with that type of information. For instance, while building an online spreadsheet is a really cool thing to be able to do, and it's a very useful thing, it really isn't all that more useful to build an online spreadsheet that has access to a person's social graph and their list of friends. On the other hand, there's a large class of applications that suddenly become more interesting. For instance, a ride-sharing application. If you're building something where the user wants to be able to interact with their friends using your application, that's a great thing to do with Facebook. The beauty of this is, unlike on the rest of the web, your user won't have to re-enter their entire list of friends. Facebook already knows about it. So think about applications that will benefit from the ability to use the social graph and the social network that Facebook has in place. Also, think about things that are inherently interactive. You're looking for an application that's going to encourage people to use it, that people will enjoy using, and that's kind of typical of the rest of the web. One final thing to mention is that, for the most part, these applications tend to be relatively fun. Successful Facebook applications aren't enterprise applications, typically. There's something interesting that people want to do, and they want to play with their friends. So make sure that you're engaging your users, you're giving them some tasks that they can accomplish, and some things that work better when they're shared with friends, and you can develop a great, successful Facebook application.
Can you talk a little bit more about what might be your key elements of what a successful Facebook application involves? Anything else that you might add to that?
Yeah, definitely. So the most important thing, and I think this is true outside of Facebook as well, is that any application you build has to provide more value than the cost to use it. The great thing about Facebook is that it lowers the barrier to entry on using new applications. You don't have to sign up for an account. You don't have to do a lot of these other steps. So your application doesn't have to provide a ton of value. It just needs to be interesting and useful enough so that somebody will click a couple times to try it out. Once you've got an application that's actually interesting and useful to people, it's a lot easier from there. But what you want to do is make sure that you're spreading via messaging, you're engaging users, and you're helping them communicate and learn things about their friends. One of my favorite examples of a great Facebook application is the Facebook Photos application, which was built on top of the platform like any other. I think it's fantastic that every time somebody uploads a picture of one of my friends, I can find out about it. Because all of a sudden, actions of people that I don't even know, because they're peripherally connected to me, benefit me. It's a great thing to be able to share with people, and it helps me learn not only a little bit about my friends, but also who their friends are. On top of that, it's a lot of the typical things you look for in a normal website. It's important that it works. There's an incredibly large number of half-complete or incredibly buggy applications on Facebook, so make sure your application is well-tested, functional, and make sure that it responds in less than 8 seconds, because that's Facebook's cutoff. If your application doesn't respond in 8 seconds, they just show up an error page, and all of a sudden there's nothing your users can do to interact with the app.
You talked a little bit about performance earlier. How can developers build in performance to their application to make sure that not only it meets the Facebook cutoff time, but also that their applications perform quickly?
It's really kind of a tough thing to do. While you want to make sure your application can handle the load, you also probably don't want to spend months and months performance tuning your application. So the best advice I can give is to try to build something simple, because simple things are easier to performance tune down the road. Be cognizant of the types of database queries that your application is doing. For instance, if you're doing a lot of social functions, you want to make sure that you're writing efficient queries that traverse the social graph. It's very, very easy to write queries that end up accessing millions of records once you start getting large numbers of friends involved. So be careful doing that. And if you're doing it, make sure that you understand the performance implications of your use of the social graph. On top of that, I think the best thing you can do is build something simple, test it and figure out where the worst performing parts of the application are and just work on those. I honestly don't spend a ton of time worrying about performance up front because some of the applications we build just never catch on and they never get more than a few thousand users and we just don't need to spend the time. Instead, we try to make sure we've got a simple, well-architected application that if it does become popular, we can spend a couple of weeks performance tuning it as it grows and we just deal with it when it happens.
Let's talk a little bit about the changes to the Facebook platform. Especially over the last month or so, a lot of changes have been coming down the road and more are planned. How can developers stay up to date with what's changing?
Well, developing for Facebook it's a lot of fun, but you definitely have to stay on your toes. Facebook really likes to give you new updates or changes to rules, and they usually give you a week or two to implement them. For those of us that maintain the Facebooker plugin, that can make our lives a little bit interesting when all of a sudden there's a new type of messaging. The old type of messaging is getting turned off, and we have 2 weeks to make the transition. The most important thing to do is to subscribe to the Facebook developer blog. Once you install the developer application on Facebook, you can actually, there are some links to news feeds where they publish changes. There's also a platform news feed where you can get updates on what they're changing with their weekly code pushes. Because Facebook updates the platform every Tuesday evening, and on Monday they publish a list of changes. So it's always good to review those changes and understand what's going on to make sure it's not going to break anything in your application. On top of that, once you kind of understand what's coming up, it's easy to decide how you need to react. The vast majority of changes that Facebook makes, you probably don't need to worry about. Or maybe they're even more, they're less of a code change and they're more of a rules change. For instance, you can no longer send action notices when it's a passive action. So a long time ago, you could send an action that says, Mike received a flower. Well, because Mike didn't take any action, you no longer are allowed to send that as a notification. Instead, it has to only be active things. Those are the types of rule changes that you'll want to read and think about and just understand how they impact your application. On top of that, I would recommend subscribing to the Facebooker mailing list. The Facebooker mailing list is a relatively low volume. It's usually not more than 10 or 15 messages a week. But as people have problems or as people experience new changes, that's usually where they're discussed first. And on top of that, you should update the Facebooker plugin often. We release new versions every couple of weeks as changes are made to the platform, so you probably want to stay pretty current with the Facebooker plugin.
Moving a little bit away from Facebook development to actually marketing a Facebook application, it's something that your book doesn't cover in great detail, but it might be fun to talk a little bit about here, especially as we talked a little bit earlier about how to develop a successful Facebook application. How can you maybe market or promote the Facebook applications you create to ensure that they might be having more success than you?
The first thing is to really think about your application from a marketing standpoint. And I don't mean the marketing and advertising that people often talk about, but the business school idea of marketing. And that means figuring out who's your target audience, what it is they're looking for, and at what price. Now, granted, with a Facebook application, the price is normally free, but there's also some price to people's time. So you want to make sure that you've got a good target for who will be using your application, make a good case for why they should use your application, and make sure that it provides enough value where there's a really good business case for them to use the application. It's funny for me to say something like that when, you know, one of the applications I've been talking about is Growing Gifts, where I can send you a virtual flower. But it's a great example of an application that's found a great target market, and they've built the application to make it really easy for those people to do what it is they want to do. So by far, the first place you want to start is to build an application that's interesting to people, that they want to use, and make it easy for them. On top of that, it's worth looking at what else is out there. Right now, there's probably 30 or 40 different applications I can use to show what books I've read and what other books I'm going to read in the near future. So unless you've got something that's completely different than what's already out there, it probably doesn't make sense to create yet another one of those applications. Try to find some interesting new way of using the data that Facebook has, the friend data, the social data, and come up with something a little bit different. Once you've got that, there's a bunch of different ways that you can promote your application. One of the best ways is just to tell people about it and send invitations to your friends. You should be able to send 20 or 30 invitations a day on Facebook. So send them to your friends and see if it's something that they're going to use. If it's a really interesting application that's really useful, odds are your friends will like it and send it to some of their friends. And that's the way you achieve viral growth. If you're looking to get a slightly different start, there's a bunch of different ad networks such as social media, and I believe a couple others that are out there, where you can pay some amount of money for each installation. So basically, you're buying banner ads that run on other Facebook applications, and you only pay when a user installs your application. It's a little bit more expensive way of going about growing your user base, and it's probably not the way you want to grow to a million users, but if you want to get your first couple hundred or your first thousand that way, and then see if your application will spread virally afterwards, that's a great way of doing it. Really, the thing for me is I'd love to see what everybody can come up with. Building a Facebook application is such a simple thing to do. You can build a simple application in less than a week's time. So if you've got something that you think might be fun, give it a try. You don't need to spend hundreds and hundreds of hours building this thing. Give it a quick try, see how it works, and get them out there. We really believe in releasing our applications early and often before you spend a bunch of time building it. Just build something quick and simple as a great test of concept and release it and see what happens. There's some really cool applications out there that were released that way and that have grown over time. So do it and then let us all know. We'd love to see what you can build after using this book.
That's Michael J. Mangino along with Susanna Falzer on the Pragmatic Podcast talking about his book, Developing Facebook Platform Applications with Rails. As always, you can find more information about our books, screencasts, and training at pragprog.com. Our podcasts are at pragprog.com/podcasts, and you can join the discussion at forums.pragprog.com. The music for this podcast was composed and performed by Andy Hunt. For the Pragmatic Programmers, I'm Daniel Steinberg.